Back to the Todd Brodelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
It is the 5 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. Day two at Big Ten Media Days. The Todd Brodelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM KGYM. A big thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, helping to sponsor our two-day trip here to Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. And the thing's pretty much winding down. Dan Murphy of ESPN.com going to join us here. I know you got a train to catch back to Ann Arbor, but your guy Jim Harbaugh was making quite a scene here earlier today. What's it like spending the majority of your time covering Jim Harbaugh's program?
It's always interesting. Yeah, there's not a lot of dull moments. He keeps things fascinating. When, you know, there's not always a lot of football talk, right? It's harder to get him to reveal too much about what's going on in the depth chart and that type of thing, but he finds something to keep us entertained all the time.
I'll ask you this because it's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Is Jim Harbaugh crazy or crazy like a fox? A little bit of both?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, he's definitely a smart guy. He's a brilliant guy with a lot of what he does. And you know, I think the question that a lot of people have is whether or not a lot of what he does is genuine, I guess, right? Whether he's doing that with an intent to try to drum up interest and attention to himself. And from all that I've been able to gather and get to know him a little bit over the past 3 years now, is that's he is who he is at all times. You know, when he's interested in something, he's totally sold and bought into it. He's not going to kind of put on airs or do something that he's not going to put on a scene just for the sake of putting on a scene. That's just kind of who he is. He's doing his thing.
Now, one of the big questions with Lovie Smith was how is he going to adjust the NFL game? Now, we have a big sample size for Jim Harbaugh both in the NFL and in college football. Is it safe to say at this point with his demeanor and his penchant for being in the news and recruiting that he fits better in the college game than he did in the NFL?
I think so. Yeah, I think he loves it, especially being back in Ann Arbor where he grew up and being, you know, his dad and his mom live down the street from him now, and he's got all, you know, he's coaching with his son Jay, and he's got a bunch, you know, his kids in the house in the same town where he grew up, going to the same school he went to, and that stuff he genuinely loves and is a big fan of it. So I think that means a lot to him. You know, I think one of the big things that was the question that a lot of people had when he came back is the amount of control you have on the college level when you're dealing with boosters and an athletic director in a university and people pulling a lot of different directions, when he's a guy who really wants to have his hands on a lot of things and caused some problems with the 49ers when he was out there. Obviously, things didn't end so well. But I think he's, you know, he's obviously got his hands on a lot of things at Michigan, being kind of the savior, the prodigal son coming back to help them out. I think he's had a lot of leeway to do what he wants to get done and figured out a way to do it. So I think that hurdle he's gotten over, and he's been a pretty good fit here at Michigan.
So this year they lose, this team loses 11 NFL draft picks, and I know people are talking about the way that he's recruited. What do you think the season is going to look like? Because you're replacing talent, but you're replacing talent with talent.
Yeah, I mean, they'll still be very good. I'm really looking forward to seeing their first game against Florida down in Texas. Not only is it a pretty good opponent to start, but it's also a foreign environment, a big environment where you're going to have a lot of young guys who get thrown into the fire, basically, and see how they do. And you know, Florida's in sort of a similar position, too, where it's year three for both, you know, Harbaugh and McElwain, and both those guys kind of going after each other. Will be, I think, one of the more interesting games in week one for me to watch. And, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. I think nobody really knows exactly how they'll look, including Michigan doesn't really know at this point. But the one thing, you know, they lost a ton of guys, a ton of starters, and I think four or five returning starters. They did have a decent amount of guys that are coming back that have at least been on the field, got a little bit of experience. When you bring back guys like Mo Hurst, technically wasn't a starter last year, but he's, you know, a bona fide all Big Ten, if not more, type of player, and they've got a couple great guys on the defensive line. So they're not totally barren of experience, but they are going to need, they're going to have some growing pains, I'm sure.
Dan Murphy of ESPN.com joining us for a few more minutes here on the Todd Brodelkamp Show as our coverage of Day 2 of Big Ten Media Days continues on from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. When you look at the East, you got Urban Meyer and Ohio State, the heavy favorite. You've got Michigan, which probably has some work to do at this point. Penn State, I think, is in pretty good position. But what about Michigan State? Because they completely fell off the face of the earth last year. And Mark D'Antonio took some pretty good questions here in Chicago about what he can do to turn this turn that program around. I mean, you go from playing Iowa in the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis one year to not making a bowl game the next year and then having to deal with the off-field issues as well, virtually unheard of in East Lansing.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, and especially because the reputation of that program and the way that D'Antonio built them up was on this kind of solid, seemingly unshakable foundation of we're going to keep doing things the same way and we're going to keep rolling and being consistent no matter who we lose or what happens. And the trains really came off the track there last year in every way imaginable, on the field, off the field, in the locker room, all kinds of problems. And he's at least acknowledged that, and I think he was happy to try to spend basically 24 hours saying that over and over again and answering those questions. He's hoping now that he can kind of move on, and you know, I don't think people will stop asking those questions, but I mean, they still got a long way to go. They've got a lot of repairing to do. You know, he said himself that they're pretty much starting from scratch and have to build that thing up again, and they've got talented guys still. But they're also young. They're also thin, especially on the defensive line and the offensive line, which is where they've been when they're good. That's where they're really good. So that's a big question mark for them.
How do you think Kevin Wilson is going to go over in Columbus?
I think he's a great hire. You know, obviously he came in, it was probably pretty toxic in many places after the way things ended in Indiana. You know, who knows exactly what happened there, but I don't think there are a ton of places that could have so smoothly integrated him into their staff. Urban Meyer kind of has the ability to do that. He's got a couple other head coaches on his staff, especially with Greg Schiano. He knows how to work with those guys. And you know, you think back to his days in Oklahoma as the offensive coordinator, how potent those guys were. If he can bring, you know, even part of that to Ohio State with some of the athletes they have around JT Barrett, that's got a chance to be the difference maker that takes them from being a potential Big Ten champion to potential national champion.
From life in the East to life in the West, Wisconsin comes in as the favorite, but P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, I think, is a little bit of a wild card this year. No one knows what the Gophers are going to look like because people forget lost in all of the Tracy Clays drama. They were a pretty good football team last year.
Yeah, very good football team. They got, you know, obviously they got to figure out a quarterback and figure out a couple other things, but especially in that front seven, you know, their linebackers are as good as, you know, could compete with anybody in the West at least, if not the whole conference, I think. And he's going to be an exciting guy. His track record, at least at Western Michigan, and the way he wants to do things is kind of move ahead slowly. And I don't know that he's the guy that necessarily wants to come in and has some crazy different schematics or that kind of thing that he's going to just blow people out of the water right away. His game is more, I want to build a culture and get guys behind this, and very slowly we're going to kind of build things up. So I don't know if he's a guy who all of a sudden is going to do something totally crazy that is going to make Minnesota go 10-2 or 11-1 this year, but he's certainly, you know, for a division that's not exactly known for its huge personalities and crazy excitement and that kind of thing, he's a different guy in that group.
It seems like almost every team in the division, at least half of them, are looking for quarterbacks right now. We talked with Tanner Lee earlier today at Nebraska, and he's the guy as he walks by the table right now. Iowa in a similar position with the Hawkeyes. Nathan Stanley, Tyler Wiegers, Kirk Ferentz doesn't really seem to know what direction to go. Brian Ferentz taking over as the offensive coordinator. And now Kirk Ferentz going into year number 19, the dean of college football coaches. What do you see this season for the Hawkeyes in Iowa City?
I mean, I think they're going to do what they do well, right? They're going to run the ball really well, and they look like they're in good position to do that, and they're going to play against the run really well. I think the question is whether or not that they're going to be able to move the ball, and whether doing those things that they do well is going to be enough to, you know, get teams to play their game, get teams to play their style, and be able to win games. You know, I think there's probably a few teams in front of them in the West that, you know, if I was having to pick a lineup in the West at this point, they'd probably be at least third or fourth on the list. But, you know, wouldn't be the first time that a Kirk Ferentz team surprised everybody and won a whole bunch of games if they do it this year.
The issue of scheduling, especially non-conference scheduling, comes up a lot in Iowa City. And you look at a team like Wisconsin in the West, who last year really catapulted themselves with that win over LSU. The news comes out today that they're scheduling a game with Notre Dame in the non-conference schedule. Would you agree that has helped them kind of build their brand? And is that something that a lot of the teams, especially Iowa, should kind of look into?
Yeah, I don't think it never hurts, right? Like, it's great from a fan perspective. It's great from getting attention and you know, having people talk about you on a national scale when Wisconsin plays those games at LSU and the Notre Dame, which you talked about. Like, they became a big story in the beginning of last year because look at the schedule they're playing. And I mean, certainly there's an argument made to be to be made for playing the teams that you've got a better chance of beating. You know, the way that Iowa did it a couple of years ago, going undefeated and getting that shot in the Big Ten. You know, people were talking about them plenty by the end of November. The risk there is you got to win all those games, or else you become irrelevant very quickly if you drop a couple of them.
I want to ask you a question that we asked Adam when he joined us yesterday on the program, and that's the subject that came up when
I'm way smarter than Adam.
When Jim Delaney talked the other day, Friday Night Football. I think this is something that Jim Delaney really thought people were going to get on board with, and the blowback was swift, and it was pretty loud and clear, and they seem to be walking back on this. Is this idea dead before it even gets out the door? And Adam thought maybe Thursday Night Football. What do you see as far as the Big Ten moving forward and playing games on non-Saturdays? Because the TV money is tremendous. Schools are getting $50, $51 million.
Right.
And part of that is because of the TV rights. So you can't bite the hand that feeds you, but there's also so many windows on Saturday that you can put your product out there.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think the Big Ten's in a good enough position where they can dictate a little bit, like, hey, we want to play on Saturdays. You put us on TV, and they're still getting paid to do it. I think that the Friday night thing did catch the league office off guard a little bit at that point. They got more, especially from the high school associations. I don't think they realized how they were damaging a fan base and how that was going to play from a PR standpoint, which hurt them a lot. But I think that, I don't know, you know, the midweek games, a lot of that stuff, I think the Big Ten tries to stay away from because they want to hold on to that a little bit more of an academic reputation and want to keep from being, you know, that's kind of MAC territory that they want to stay away from, I think. But I think you'll see a few games. I think you'll continue to see the early season ones, the pre-Labor Day games, which are great when you have that first week where you got 4 or 5 days in a row with football games. But I don't see a huge need for them to push in the middle. They're doing great right now. The stock is up for the Big Ten right now. I don't see a need for them to push to get on TV 4 or 5 nights a week.
Were you surprised that Jim Delaney walked back on the FCS scheduling ban, if you will?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's a good thing. I think it shows that they're listening to the coaches and willing to bend a little bit. I remember, you know, last year around this time, there was a couple votes, and then Pat Fitzgerald said that the coaches were unanimous against certain things, and the league went through with them, whether it was for TV contract reasons or for money reasons or whatever it was. But it seems like they're taking feedback, at least, which I think is a positive thing. Say, hey, you know, if you're going to do this, we're going to have to figure it out. And actually, talked to Jim Delaney a bit earlier today, and he said basically he used the analogy of a tube of toothpaste, where if you squeeze in one place, it's going to bubble up somewhere else, and you got to kind of weave your way through things, and as you change one thing, other things, you're going to get unintended consequences. And it's good that they're able to, I think, kind of see where things went wrong and adjust without being too stubborn to kind of go back and fix problems that popped up.
Dan Murphy, ESPN.com, great work as always. Nice sitting down and chatting with you. We know you've got a train to catch back to Ann Arbor, so we'll let you do that. And thank you very much for the time. We'll touch base down the road.
It was a pleasure, guys. You bet.
That's going to do it here for another segment on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn at Big Ten Media Days in Chicago. We'll step aside. And when we come back, Kyle's going to have another Big Board update for you. Back with more after this.
For over 30 years, IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Hey, boss, is our computer network up and running yet?
No, they're still working on it.
It's been over 2 days. How much longer is it going
to
be?
I don't know. Everything seemed to be working fine, so I didn't think we needed to do anything. Then, when we lost all our files to that virus, I called some guy and he said our virus protection and backups weren't working correctly. He's still trying to get our files back.
I told you we needed to call IT Solutions before we had a problem.
I know.
The office where my brother works uses IT Solutions, and they aren't having any problems. My sister's business had a virus slip through, but they had all their files back in 30 minutes.
I wish that was us.
Well, since we can't get any work done around here, go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com now.
IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs for over 30 years. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com before it's too late.
It's only 44 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Back to the Todd Bromelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
5:20 and what would normally be the halfway point of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, but, well, we've been on the air since 3 o'clock today, so we're beyond halfway finished with day two of our Big Ten Media Day coverage live from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. Big thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub for sponsoring not only the countdown to kickoff leading up to Big Ten Media Days, but our trip here as well. Alex Kuhn sitting alongside me, Kyle Mann, our producer, and Rob Norton making the trip with us to Chicago. And, gentlemen, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there, because coming up in just a few minutes, we'll touch base with one of the newest members of the Big Ten Network, James Laurinaitis. And Mark Silverman talked yesterday. Mark Silverman, the president of the BTN, he's never seen anybody have as good of an initial screen test as James Laurinaitis did. Now, he does have a background, if you will, in entertainment a little bit. His father is Animal from the Road Warriors. Our friends who listen to the program who are big wrestling fans will know that. And listening to him earlier today do some media availabilities here in the building. I think a home run hire for the BTN. And then Braylon Edwards will be with us at 6:30 as well, the former Michigan wide receiver, one of the greatest receivers in Big Ten history, also joining the BTN along with Northwestern's Corey Wooten this season. So we talked yesterday with Chuck Long when he was with us here on Radio Row about the ESPN cuts and Chuck looking up and down the roster to see if any of those guys had played in the Big Ten, and he needed to be worried about the BTN perhaps poaching some of the talent. But these are some young up-and-coming guys in the broadcasting ranks, and we're going to touch base with them at 5:30 and 6:30 respectively.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit of a double dip of Michigan. We just had Dan Murphy of ESPN joining the show. He covers he covers Michigan and the Big Ten, stationed in Ann Arbor. We're also going to get Braylon Edwards. A little bit of a Michigan-Ohio State rivalry with James Laurinaitis joining us in just about 10 minutes. We have several updates, though, that I want to keep the listeners in tuned of. First of all, the Twizzlers on Wingman are gone.
Yeah, I took the last one. I didn't want to make a big deal of having some random stranger take the final piece of licorice, so I went ahead and finished it. All 105 pieces of licorice are gone.
And the other update is, there's actually three updates. I'm going to deliver the second one, and I'll let you deliver the third one.
Okay.
The second one is that I posted a poll on Twitter, and you can go to KGYM Radio, at KGYM Radio, to vote on it. You can't actually put polls on Twitter with pictures, but there are two pictures side by side. Jim Harbaugh, last night in the lobby, Kyle Mann took a picture, and his clothing looks almost identical to what he wore to Big Ten Media Days today. So you can vote yes or no. Is Jim Harbaugh wearing the same clothing that he wore last night? You be the judge. We have two pictures side by side.
The other update for you that we have is we've talked in the past about professional autograph hounds at Big Ten Media Days. And a while back, James Franklin, Penn State's head coach, walked past us, and he had three guys who probably had 40 or 50 8x10 photos, and he was walking and signing all of them at the same time. And as soon as he would hand one back, someone would put another one in front of him.
The same guy.
The same guy. And he was definitely giving a little bit of a rack fest there. So if you're a James Franklin fan, you can get on eBay and probably buy an autographed photo of his tonight. But some of the things that you see at Big Ten Media Day, it never ceases to amaze me. We're here at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place until 7 o'clock tonight. Jim Harbaugh is also the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com today. Thank you to our friends at Emil's Hideaway for bringing you that. Jim Harbaugh, crazy or crazy like a fox? KGYM Radio is where you can go to vote in that poll question. And the Michigan coach has certainly got a ton of attention here in Chicago. The question is, can he or anybody else in the East put together a season that's going to knock Ohio State off its perch? Because for a team that got embarrassed in the college football playoffs, Ohio State has a lot of momentum behind it heading into this season. They are the odds-on favorite in Las Vegas to win the league this year.
They are, and I think there's going to be some competition in that Eastern division. You talk about Michigan, you talk about Penn State. So that I really like Penn State with what they have coming back at quarterback and running back and Joe Moorhead, their offensive coordinator. I just cannot wait to see what the Kevin Wilson experiment goes like. I think it's going to go well. I think he's going to add a dimension to that offense that was really missing, really has been missing since Tom Herman left for Houston. You think back to that national championship year where they had two different quarterbacks, three if you want to count Braxton Miller, who was injured preseason, come in, and that offense didn't skip a beat because there was always that down-the-field threat to go along with Ezekiel Elliott. And these last 2 years in losses, you think back to Michigan State a couple of years ago, at home without Connor Cook, they lost that game. It cost them a chance to go to the Big Ten Championship game last year. At home, on the road against Penn State, they lose that game. It cost them a chance to go to the Big Ten Championship game, and then you brought it up right there, the Orange Bowl, the college football playoff, the loss to Clemson where they got absolutely embarrassed. So as high of a standard as Ohio State puts on itself, it just got even – the expectations are very clear. They don't want to win Big Ten championships. They want to win national championships. And I agree with Dan Murphy. I think that Kevin Wilson will bring that flair back to the offense, and they're going to be explosive. And we'll see if that kind of effect takes place right away.
The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line is available for you to reach out to us today, 319-366-1600. As we mentioned, still plenty of great show to come. We got a Hawkeye to talk to yet today too. Wide receiver Matt Vandenberg making his way back onto the field. You'll hear from him at 6 o'clock. James Laurinaitis on the way in just a few minutes. Braylon Edwards scheduled for 6:30 tonight. Time to send it back over to Kyle for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Seven Northern Iowa Panthers were recognized by the Missouri Valley Conference on its preseason squads, headlined by two seniors, defensive back Malcolm Washington and linebacker Jared Farley being named first-team selections. Running back Trevor Allen, offensive lineman Cal Twait, DB Elijah Campbell, punter Sam Cooter, and return man Jalen Reima were all given honorable mention. Former Cyclone Matt Thomas spent his summer turning in some stellar shooting for the Lakers Summer League team, and yesterday it was announced that he'd reached a deal with the Spanish club Abradero. He opted to sign internationally because he says he didn't like the idea of playing in the G League without an NBA contract. This comes less than a week after Deontay Burton signed in Korea. The Iowa State baseball tournament continues today with Class 3A quarterfinals, including Marion squaring off with Dubuque Waller. Waller came out on top in that one 5-4 after a walk-off hit by Joey Callahan, and they're going to play Davenport Assumption next on Friday. The Colonels are off today after a 3-1 loss to Lansing in the series finale yesterday, and are traveling to Peoria as they prepare for a three-game series with the Chiefs. The Minnesota Twins lost to the Dodgers 6-4 last night thanks to a late three-run Cody Bellinger home run, but are back out there tonight for Game 2 of the three-game series. The Twins turn to Jose Barrios to take on Kenta Maeda, and that game's going to be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, starting shortly after 9 o'clock.
Plenty of baseball news to get to coming up on the program tomorrow. We're going to talk with Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com. Lots of rumors swirling around the MLB trade deadline. The Mets said to be looking to part ways with guys like first baseman Lucas Duda, no relation to a certain co-host of Doug and Daddy. Addison Reed could be on the move as their closer, so the Mets are looking to sell. The Royals actually made an acquisition yesterday, I think a pretty good one, adding some quality pitching from the San Diego Padres, who aren't going anywhere, but there are going to be a lot of eyes on the Chicago Cubs over the next 6 days. Joe Maddon said today he likes the composition of his team. He likes the guys who are on the 25-man roster right now, including the guys who are in the bullpen. But there's still some folks out there that think the Cubs can shore things up a little bit more. They won today, by the way, 7-2 over the Chicago White Sox, although Javier Baez... There's the golden sombrero, and then there's whatever Javier Baez had today. He struck out 5 times today.
There's no term for that?
Not that I'm aware of, unless it's like the platinum sombrero, like the gold glove and then the platinum glove. Like, that's the ultimate sombrero. And Joe Maddon said, sort of like the golf ball on a tee, but it won't stay on there when you're striking out that much. But the Cubs managed to win today, and they'll move forward, and we'll see what happens as far as the MLB trade deadline, which is looming on the horizon. What else is on the horizon? James Laurinaitis. He's going to be joining us next, the former Ohio State linebacker, now a member of the BTN broadcast crew.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Dear U of I, just a note to let you know, if you're ever thinking about selling Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, please consider Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're here to provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Signed, Hawkeye Fan Forever, and send. Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Whether it's a large commercial property or if you're buying your first home, remember, we're here to help. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
Details and exclusions.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Right now, LeBron James not pleased with how he's been portrayed in the reporting of the trade request by teammate Kyrie Irving. James today tweeted hashtag not facts people, directed at an online story which quoted ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Smith is emphatically standing by his reporting, which included saying sources in James's camp told him LeBron would be attempting to beat Kyrie in regards to the trade request. Baseball, Cubs defeated the White Sox 7-2. Cubs star Chris Bryant ejected from a game for the first time in his career, argued a strike three call in the fourth, his third strikeout of the day, began to walk away before saying something that got him tossed. Cubs starter John Lackey hit four batters, three in the fifth inning alone. NFL police in Virginia say the man charged with shoplifting on June 22nd was not former Cowboys receiver Lucky Whitehead, as they'd previously indicated. The man arrested didn't have ID on him and verbally provided the name, date of birth, and social security number of Whitehead. Police apologized to Whitehead and his family in a statement. The Cowboys released Whitehead yesterday, citing a pattern of recent behavior.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
It's time for some straight talk. You love your phone, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm watching highlights on it right now.
But I'm guessing you don't love your big old expensive wireless plan with all the mystery fees and data overages on your bill every month.
Now, tell me about it.
Well, what if I told you, Greeny, that you could keep the phone you love but pay a whole lot less every month?
How do I do that?
Just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. You can actually keep your exact same phone, your exact same number, even your exact same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying now.
Boom, that's a home run.
Out of the park.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month with nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
The Ford Summer Sales event is in full swing.
Is your truck going to be able to handle all these pavers for the patio?
No problem. The F-150 has got a high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy body.
Oh.
With best-in-class payload, the F-150 can handle the work you need it to.
Remember when I had a high-strength, military-grade body?
I don't, actually. It's always a
good time. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand, during the Ford Summer Sales event. Hurry and get our hottest offers during the Ford Summer Sales event, like 0% financing for 60 months on select Ford F-150s. Plus, get an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Offer ends July 31st. Best-selling based on 2016 sales when properly equipped. Classes full-size pickups under 8,500 pounds. GVWR based on Ford segmentation. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after new retail delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by July 31st, 2017.
Back to the Todd Bromelcamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Welcome back. Day two of Big Ten Media Day coverage from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600, our historic main gym frequency. Big thanks to the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for helping sponsor our coverage, not only the countdown to kickoff, but our trip here to Chicago. And if you were listening to yesterday's program, our next guest's name came up a couple times because apparently he's a rising star on the BTN. And Alex is very excited to talk to James because he played for the St. Louis Rams. But James Laurinaitis is going to sit down with us here for a little bit. You recently announced, I think it was in April, that you had retired from the NFL. And here you are at Big Ten Media Days, set to become an analyst this fall.
I know. Time goes fast, doesn't it? I mean, it seems like yesterday I was just drafted to St. Louis and start my career, and now to think of it being done, I'm very content with it, and I'm happy to be given the opportunity to start in the media world and ready to get to work and try to use that same work ethic at this profession as the last one.
When did you decide that this is what you wanted to do after your playing career?
Well, I would say probably around March or April. For a while I wrestled between whether it should be coaching or doing this, kind of trying to attack the media world, and I think what it came down to, I tried to list a thing of what my values were and what I truly, what my goals wanted to be, and my first thing was being a father and trying to be around a lot. I have some friends who coach, and the thing they always say is, I wish I had more time around my family, and so instantly it kind of became, all right, well, how can I stay around football in a sense where not only can I talk about it in the media world and really be entrenched in it that way, but doing media also gives you time to help out locally at a high school level, doing stuff with teams and still giving back to the game that way. And I just love football. That's all, everything I've known since I was in fourth grade, and I didn't want to walk away from it in this capacity.
Had you done any media work prior to your screen test? Because Mark Silverman, the president of the BTN, yesterday said that he had never seen a screen test as good as yours.
It's a lot of pressure, man.
I want to know how good it was.
No, not a whole lot. I did only a couple things here and there. I mean, doing the wall-to-wall sports in Columbus, Ohio a couple times maybe when I played. It's way different. People say, well, you do all a bunch of interviews, right? You've been interviewed a ton. Well, it's a lot different giving an interview versus being interviewed. It's easy being interviewed. You can just ramble about whatever. When you're interviewing, you have to think of, you know, important questions and stuff and storylines. And so for me, I did the NFL broadcast boot camp, which is where I met Quentin Carter from the Big Ten Network, and really went through a lot of they put you through everything, man. You're busy from 7 a.m. till about 8 p.m. and you're going through the grind of whether this is what a studio show is like. Here's how you prepare for it. Here's what a radio show looks like. Here's what calling games on radio, calling games on TV. So you go through the whole thing, and I guess it went really well, obviously, and so I'm honored to be given this opportunity.
During your playing career, were you able to keep up with Big Ten football, or has it been a lot of refamiliarizing yourself with it after your playing career?
No, I've definitely kept up with it. The best thing about being sometimes in the NFL locker room is college football season, because that's when you get a lot of interesting bets going on back and forth.
I remember when Sam Bradford had to wear the Mizzou jersey.
Sam had to wear the Mizzou jersey. Last year I had to wear a Penn State hat and shirt because of that game. I made a bet with Mike Mowdy and Nate Stupar, two linebackers from Penn State, that I was teammates with at the Saints. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, us Buckeyes are very prideful, right? So a lot of times we stick our foot in our mouth when we come to these bets. But it was definitely kept up with it. I love Big Ten football, obviously. It's what I've known my whole life, so definitely keep an eye on it.
James Laurinaitis joining us, the only player to ever win two Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year awards in conference history. And let's talk a little bit about the Big Ten and your Buckeyes. They're the prohibitive favorite to win the league this year. How difficult is it going to be for you as a broadcaster to have to sort of separate yourself from, hey,
yeah,
I'm a Buckeye?
No doubt. I was talking to Herb Street about this, and Herbie was like, listen, be prepared that no matter when you are ever talking about Ohio State, to Ohio State fans, you're not as passionate. They always say, gosh, he doesn't really love us like he used to. And to everybody else, you're biased. He's like, so, you know, you're never going to have a fair view in either person's mind. But for me, I think it's easy. You just try to be fair. You try to be realistic. But there's always going to be that love for your school. The Buckeyes this year are our favorites, I think, in the East. But Penn State is a team that, quite frankly, if that game isn't played in Columbus, I'm saying maybe Penn State's the favorite, you know, in the East. I think Michigan, if they can beat Florida off the bat, then that gives them an opportunity to become a real threat again. So especially nationally, I think Michigan's in a situation that Ohio State was in a couple years ago, where they lost a bunch of people, and next thing you know, everyone's like, "Well, Ohio State's going to take a step back." But they just reloaded and kept going. I think Michigan is in that situation. They lost a lot of talent. It seems like they have recruits, especially after listening to Harbaugh today, to really fill in and keep it rolling.
For most programs, going to the college football playoff is a success. But for Urban Meyer, after that 31-0 loss, it was an abject failure. He makes big-time shakeups. Did that surprise you when bringing in Kevin Wilson as the offensive coordinator and shaking things up offensively?
You know, it didn't. Just because they are so explosive with Tom Herman, to see how it was really, even though they were winning, they weren't winning in the way that I guess Buckeye Nation has expected them to win. Remember a game at Michigan State when Michigan State really struggled last year. And of course, when you're Ohio State, you're going to get everyone's best shot, right? But they just looked sloppy. It didn't look like there was really any flow to it. So I'm really trying to figure out how Kevin Wilson will help this offense. He's obviously tremendous, tremendous offensive play caller. Stuff he did not only at Indiana, but when he was at Oklahoma, when he had Sam Bradford at quarterback. Very, very talented offensive coach. So I'm excited to see kind of how he uses JT Barrett and those weapons, but they still need some receivers to step up and emerge. It's the same conversation they had a year ago, but hopefully the coach can help schematically open some stuff up deep.
Were you surprised to see Michigan State struggle last season?
I was. I thought that what Mark has done up there is create a level of consistency that I thought it was like, look, Michigan State's worst years, you know, might be 8-4, you know, or that they would still go to a bowl, but they, especially after a year in the playoff, you're thinking, all right, they're going to be around consistently. But when you don't have solid play at the quarterback position, and it seems like they had really some chemistry issues kind of in the locker room. It didn't really seem like a cohesive unit. So hopefully they get all that figured out. They've had an off season again with people getting in trouble. I think Mark can get it rebounded, but I'm really looking forward to them kind of getting back to where they were, because it helps the conference. It really helps everything nationally when they're playing well.
Has Wisconsin kind of entrenched themselves as the class of the Western Division?
Well, I think so. I think you look at their success. Obviously, Iowa with the 1 year in there, but I think Wisconsin, Iowa. I think Northwestern is a sleeper, to be honest with you, this year, just because of their quarterback play. But overall, Wisconsin has a death grip on that West. But I think Minnesota had a really intriguing hire with PJ Fleck. I was with PJ when I was at Ohio State. He was a GA, and so he was a young coach out there. Still had the same energy he has right now, all over the place. But I think right now Wisconsin is definitely the favorite.
P.J. Fleck, he goes into a Western Division with a lot of long-tenured coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He brings that young, youthful energy, the success that he has on the recruiting trail. What kind of effect do you think he can have on that division?
Well, growing up in Minnesota, I know how it is when, to me, I look back and Glenn Mason was the coach then. And really, that's Minnesota's playing some good ball, right? They had Marion Barber, Lawrence Maroney, those years of football. And then they had the Brewster era and things kind of went a different direction, and I think they're on the right path. When you have somebody, when you're in a place like Minnesota, to get people to come there, you know, you are going to have to recruit in November and in December and try to get kids to come up to Minnesota. You got to have somebody with a ton of passion, a ton of fire, and he's one of those guys. And if he can keep guys in that area and also go and steal some from other places, I mean, he won at Western Michigan. I'm not going to doubt PJ Fleck being able to compete in Minnesota. Now you got to give him some time, and but I think he's the right guy for the job, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do.
Any memories in particular from your time playing against Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing at Kinnick and that awful visitor locker room. I remember, gosh, who was the quarterback? Drew Tate? I think Drew Tate was the QB back then. And just really, the game was hyped up pretty big. I remember the first series, the little play action pass, sneak in there, get a sack. And really, what I loved about playing in that game was how close the fans are to the field. I just think it's one of the most unique experiences. I always compare going to Lambeau as going to Kinnick because it's, to me, it's the same feel. You're going to have people parking on people's front lawns. You can see a ton of tailgating. It's, to me, what college football is all about is that kind of setting.
Now, James, I will say this. There are good news and bad news. The bad news is I'm no longer a Rams fan. The good news is you and Chris never played in L.A.
Right.
So I'm still a huge fan, and we appreciated your time in St. Louis.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I obviously have a lot of love for that city. I don't know how you feel. The only thing that I didn't agree with St. Louis and Zons is Emo's Pizza. It's not the real deal. Listen, I go.
The biggest hater in the world right here.
Take some extra licorice on the way just for that.
Emo's is awful, all right? Pie pizza now. Pie is the real deal. That little cornmeal crust that they make at Pie is unbelievable. But I'll tell you what, Emo's to me, I mean, we grew up in Columbus, having Donato's was, that's flatbread. I mean, that's flatbread pizza to me is Donato's. Not Emo's, I would taste it. I'd be like, what is this the pizza or is this the cardboard box that's around it?
What is your feeling on toasted ravioli?
Delicious.
All right. But that's fair.
I mean, St. Louis has a lot of great stuff, but Emo's, like their passion for
it's
Emo's.
I've said that many times.
It's misguided. It's all right, though.
Well, James, I think it's pretty clear to tell what put Mark Silverman over on your tape. This is terrific. We appreciate you spending the time with us and looking forward to seeing you on the BTN this year. Good luck with your new job.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to get to work.
James Laurinaitis, now of the BTN, with us here in Chicago. We'll have more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place after this.
I'm concerned about our computers. I keep hearing stories about viruses holding files hostage.
My brother's office hasn't had any issues. They work with IT Solutions. You can find them at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
IT Solutions?
Yeah, they have affordable, custom, managed monthly care for businesses like ours.
How does it work?
Think of it like taking care of your teeth. You wouldn't wait until something goes wrong and then try and find a random dentist, right?
No.
Exactly. Their multi-level protection includes virus protection on workstations and servers, virus filters at your internet connection, keeping security patches up to date, and installing custom protection developed by IT Solutions that no one else has. They also back up your data locally, so recovery is fast and easy.
Wow, all that for a low, affordable monthly fee and a plan that's customized just for us?
Yes, that's what IT Solutions has been doing for over 30 years. Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com for more info.
Well, I've got a few minutes before our meeting. I'll go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com right now.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. Most of you are aware that we have really amazing lease and finance specials going on right now on most of our new Toyotas or outstanding cash back options. It's the perfect time for you to come see us and check out the options and all the details. However, many of you may not be fully aware of our fantastic Toyota Certified Used Vehicle Program, which includes 12 months or 12,000 miles of comprehensive warranty, 7 years of limited powertrain warranty, and 1 year of roadside assistance. These vehicles must also pass a 160-point inspection before they can be certified. Also, all used vehicles we sell here at Toyota of Iowa City come with free oil changes and tire rotations for 2 full years with no mileage restrictions. So if you're in the market for a new Toyota or for a really dependable used vehicle, Toyota of Iowa City has got you covered. Come on in and get all the details at Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
5:50 as we continue our coverage on day two of Big Ten Media Days from, well, a disassembling radio row at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. This will be a race to the finish line to see whether we can pull this off before 7 o'clock tonight. But a big thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub for sponsoring not only the countdown to kickoff that led us up to the last 2 days in Chicago, but the trip itself. Alex Kuhn alongside me, as always, here taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Kyle preparing for another Big Board update, which we'll get to in just a few seconds. Big thank you to our guests so far today. Great stuff with James Laurinaitis, by the way, the new BTN commentator. Dan Murphy of ESPN.com. Scott Dochterman stopped by at 4:30 today as well. Tanner Lee, the Nebraska quarterback. And Josie Jewell, Big Ten linebacker for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And like I said, we've got a lot of stuff going on here at Big Ten Media Days right now. So I don't know. I don't know at this point, but
I think it's fair to say that James Laurinaitis will not be getting the David Freese treatment from Emos once he leaves St. Louis.
No, but also pretty clear, again, why they said yesterday that he was a rising star with the BTN. A great screen test. He just retired back in April, too, after a 7 or 8 year NFL career, and that game that he was referencing with the Hawkeyes, I'm pretty sure that was 2005, 2006, the night game at Kinnick Stadium where Iowa and Ohio State were featured on ESPN, and game day was there, and there was so much buzz, and I think it was 31-10 or something like that in the end. It ultimately didn't wind up living up to its billing, at least from Iowa's standpoint. But we're not done with our BTN analysts yet. Former Michigan wide receiver Braylon Edwards is going to be stopping by at 6:30. That's if there's a place to stop by too at this point. And Iowa wide receiver Matt Vandenberg coming your way at 6 o'clock tonight. The Hawkeyes and most of the rest of the Big Ten have winding things down here in Chicago for the most part. There's still a couple people here on Radio Row. Cubs are winners today. The series, the Crosstown Cup Series, now shifts back to the south side, as the White Sox will play host to the Cubs coming up tomorrow. A little bit of trade speculation around Major League Baseball has the Oakland Athletics and the New York Yankees talking about possibly coming together on a deal for Sonny Gray and first baseman Yonder Alonso, although John Paul Morosi of MLB Network reporting Sonny Gray is going through his warm-ups tonight at the Rogers Center. The A's getting ready to take on the Toronto Blue Jays, so no deal there seems to be too imminent at this point, but you're starting to see some names out there. And the Detroit Tigers continue to be linked to teams, not just the Chicago Cubs, but to teams trying to package players off together to shed some salary. The Tigers have a high payroll and very little results to go with it. I think something's going to happen between now and the time we talk with you again tomorrow at 4 o'clock back on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We will recap whatever that is with Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com, who normally joins us during Tuesday broadcasts. But since we're here in Chicago and talking Big Ten football today, we figured it was best to move Ed tomorrow when we've got a little bit more breathing room. And speaking of things that we move around, we never move these around. They come to you at the same time every hour, twice an hour. It's another Big Board update brought to you by Midwest One Bank. Midwest One, where you're the one. Kyle?
7 Northern Iowa Panthers were recognized by the Missouri Valley Conference on its preseason squads, headlined by two seniors, defensive back Malcolm Washington and linebacker Jared Farley, being named first-team selections. Running back Trevor Allen, offensive lineman Cal Twait, DB Elijah Campbell, punter Sam Cooter, and return man Jalen Rima were all given honorable mention. Former Cyclone Matt Thomas spent his summer turning in some stellar shooting for the Lakers Summer League team, and yesterday it was announced that he'd reached a deal with the Spanish club Abordero. He opted to sign internationally because he says he didn't like the idea of playing in the G League without an NBA contract. This comes less than a week after Deontay Burton signed in Korea. The Iowa State baseball tournament continued today with Class 3A quarterfinals, including Marion squaring off with Dubuque Wallert. Wallert emerged the victor in that one 5-4 after a walk-off hit by Joey Callahan, and they'll play Davenport Assumption on Friday. The Colonels are off today after a 3-1 loss to Lansing in the series finale yesterday and are traveling to Peoria as they prepare for a 3-game series with the Chiefs. The Minnesota Twins lost to the Dodgers 6-4 last night thanks to a late 3-run Cody Bellinger home run, but are back out there tonight for Game 2 of the 3-game series. The Twins turn to Jose Barrios to take on Kenta Maeda, And that game's going to be on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, starting shortly after 9 o'clock.
Alex, what do you think the next big trade in Major League Baseball is going to be? I think that Yankees Athletics talk with Sonny Gray and Yonder Alonso makes way too much sense not to probably happen at some point.
I look at the Oakland Athletics as a team that is just going to sell whatever is going to bring them back the best return. I think they're completely trying to go youthful, which it seems like we go through this cycle, what, once every two or three years with this team. For all that talk about how much of a genius Billy Bean was several years ago, they made a movie about his life. He just really, every two or three years, you see him selling off what prospects they do have. So I think that's probably what gets done. Although I think it was a couple weeks ago where I predicted that the biggest move in the NBA trade offseason was going to be Gordon Hayward going to the Celtics. About 3 hours later, Paul George was headed to Oklahoma City. So I've been wrong on this many times before.
This is kind of an interesting story from the Cedar Rapids Gazette that I just saw moments ago, but the University of Iowa looking to quadruple the size of the facility at Finkbein Golf Course, building a championship-level clubhouse that would make Finkbein a tournament-type site. So it's something to keep an eye on. I've always felt for a number of years that they needed to do something with Finkbein to be able to make a little bit more money there. I mean, the clubhouse there is so small, and that little crow's nest up top where you go to get some snacks and some beverages when you play around there is really small when you think about it. $10 million is what this project is going to look at costing, and I think it's going to go in front of the Board of Regents coming up in their next meeting, maybe next week. Is that when the approval would go through on this? But we talked about the Big Ten TV money, the Fox Sports, ESPN. Iowa gets $50-plus million moving forward. Well, $10 million project, drop in the hat. And especially when you know 364 days down the road, you're going to get another massive check for $50-plus million from Jim Delaney and the Big Ten, who have served as tremendous hosts here for us over the last 2 days at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. There is a rumor that we'll be on the move next year to another property, and we'll see whether that takes care or takes place or not. But it's been a great setup, and it's worked out very well. We've got 1 hour left to go. When we come back, Iowa wide receiver Matt Vandenberg is off and running, literally and figuratively. We'll catch up with him as day two coverage continues after this.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes